What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Save big on brunch for mom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hello, hello, hello. Welcome back, guys, to the No Bad Dogs podcast with me, Tom Davis, America's canine educator, the podcast where we love, live, and of course, we work with dogs. I am back. I took a week off, people, spent some time in the mountains with my family, flew all my family out and my now new fiance out, and it was a wonderful time. I appreciate all the love and support we've been getting on everything. You guys are the absolute best. We're shaking up the dog training industry one piece of content at a time. I'm so grateful for you guys. You have no idea. So today, we're going to get right back into the podcasting, guys, with an individual that's working with a dog that is extremely shut down. This dog was abandoned and abused, that we think, and she's about a year old. She's super sweet. I saw her in the FaceTime. She's absolutely adorable. But we're just having problems with overcoming certain fears. And I mean fear stuff. So we're going to go over some opportunities on how to get over this fear, specifically with this individual dog, Betty. And I'm also going to be linking all of the videos that I'm talking about because I don't like just telling people, hey, this is exactly what you have to do. I also like to follow up with, hey, here's how I've done it in the past a couple hundred times. I'm going to link up some videos in the below in the description you guys can check out that I refer to in this podcast. So anyway, guys, we're just going to get right into this podcast. I appreciate you guys so much for all the love and support again, for the reviews. If you guys haven't yet, the way to support me, if you haven't yet, I'm doing all this for free and putting all this content out there, is just show me some love in the reviews as well as on the YouTube and on the podcast and Instagram, just commenting and just telling me, you know, it's just my ammunition to keep going. I appreciate you guys supporting. Let's get into the podcast.
Hello.
Hey, this is Tom. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Pretty good. Thank you.
All right. So I actually adopted this dog a month ago today, and I got her from a rescue. She's a Southern rescue. They think that she has history of abuse. She was found abandoned. And she's very, very shy. They were having problems getting her adopted. And I thought I'd give it a go because I've got quarantine and resources and time and patience. The first week I had her actually was okay. She was a little skittish, but she was eating. She was going to the bathroom fine. Like, she won't go outside, but I have pee pads in the house, and she was fine. The challenge is that I moved. I was supposed to have already been there. I wasn't. We were a week in my old apartment, and now we're in my new one. And now she's kind of shut down. The last couple of days have been a little bit better, but she'll only go to the bathroom when I'm asleep. She'll only eat when I'm asleep. And getting her on the leash is just not even a thing. When I put it on, I watched one of your videos, like one of the dogs that just basically shut down and would rather choke themselves out.
Yeah.
That's her.
Okay. And how old do we think Betty is?
She's believed to be, she'll be a year old next week, okay. I think. I'm sorry, next month.
Okay. So what are your biggest goals with Betty? What are the things that you want to do? Confidence building, making the dog more secure, making her trust. I mean, so you moved and that's what's creating some regression, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. My main goal is right now to make sure that I'm not doing anything that's hurting her or like keeping her in this scared space.
Okay.
Last night she actually laid on my chest and I thought, you know, this is the best day of my life. So, I just want to be able to build some trust with her, and to make sure that, you know, she's as comfortable as she can be. I mean, ultimately I'd love to get her on a leash, and start working with her and maybe approaching outside, but I feel like that's so far away from where we are.
So you can't, I know you said you tried to put her on a leash, but right now that's hard. She resists that, or she resists on the walk, or how does that work right now?
So if I put her on the leash, she resists that immediately. When I did attempt to take her out one time, a helicopter came and it was like this really loud noise and she literally shut down. And so now when I put the leash on her and even try to like walk, she just resists it. Like, I tried a martingale collar, and she just is like choking herself.
Okay.
I tried a harness and I have no control. She even tried to wiggle out of that.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. Yeah. So, you know, these types of situations, you have to, you know, there's a lot of skills and a lot of experience that go into this to make it successful, because you don't want to be part of the problem, like you said, which is why we're talking. I think that what I would be doing is, like, for me, how do you, like, so I recently did a video with a very insecure pit bull on my YouTube channel, I think, couple weeks ago, and she is same way. I mean, just shut down. She's nipped a couple people because she's so insecure, just very, very insecure. I mean, she would go to the bathroom on herself when like she thought you were looking at her wrong. I mean, really shut down. And same thing, she'd go under the chairs, she would buck, she would freak out, she would run away, she would whatever. And it just, it made it, you know, sad for the owners. They're like, we don't want her to have to live like this, and whatever. So in that process, like, I've dealt with that so many times that I was able to say, okay, this is what I think needs to happen through experience. And we just used a slip collar and she shut down. She choked herself. She tried to get out of it, you know, the whole nine. And I'm not kidding you. In that video, I put on a Hermspringer prong collar and I used it. And she, as soon as I gave her a little pressure on that, she resisted, and then as soon as she felt the support and the pressure from the prong, she jumped up, she came right to me, ears back, submissively, turned around and sat in my lap. And it was like, holy crap. And I've done that before with a similar abused dog, because what happens is they're on the verge of like, they become very like, I can do this, no I can't, I can do this, no I can't. I can do this. No, I can't.
That's exactly what she's doing.
I gotta go. No, I'm gonna die. I trust him. No, I don't trust him. Like, so it becomes very hesitant. And just like with, I always like try to do as much analogies as I possibly can, because I think it resonates and it's digestible for dog owners. It's like, it's just like with people, just like with kids. They're like, I can't. It's, you know, it's Chuck E. Cheese or it's the clown. And then once they realize like, you're fine, they're like, oh, it's not so bad. But you have to like push them out of that roost a little bit to say like, just go. And so my point is I want to be very clear that there has to be a lot of like observing of the behavior, as well as like a ton of empathy and a lot of patience. But for me, and it drives some people crazy that that you would use some sort of quote unquote aversive to get a dog to do something. And it's really not aversive for the dog. It's not like, it's not a correction to a point of like the dog be like, hey, I hate this. They just, they need some sort of pressure to really move into that direction so they can become better. And I can tell you, like, I did that, like, and people, you know, people hated it because it goes against all the science and all the data that some people collect. And I'm like, look, I love dogs. I love animals. Like, I'm the type of person that, like, sees an ant and I'll, you know.
Hush.
I'm the type of person that, like, sees an ant and I'll put it on a piece of paper and bring it outside. Like, I couldn't love animals more. And, yeah. You know, to actually use, like, a prong collar to help an insecure dog drove people bonkers, because it just goes against so much of everything that they think or they learn. And it's just living, breathing, visual proof of how it can help an insecure dog. And I'm not saying that that's something you have to immediately get into. I'm just saying, like, hey, here's a similar situation of what I dealt with. And the thing was, is we did 5 sessions and we weren't over the, you know, thing, the over the hill or anything. Like, we weren't 100% better, but it really opened up doors for me to be able to get the dog out. So with you, you have to look for certain triggers with her. So obviously loud noises, helicopters, big trucks, garbage trucks, you know, probably loud individuals, busy places. Those are all going to be triggers where she's going to be like, I'm uncomfortable with this. So there's that balance, right? That you have to be as like a dog owner or like a parent, if you will, of, hey, I understand because of your past why you're insecure about this. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you've been abused by somebody in a truck or a helicopter, obviously. Yeah. It's just lack of exposure and insecurity is of like, I don't know what to do. What do I do? And if you give them the option as an animal, they're going to run and try to burrow under something and hide. Mm-hmm. Until they, but again, like, as a dog owner, you have to have like a lot of empathy, but also structure to say, noted, understood, understand. However, you can't live your life like this, because that's not going to be beneficial for you. Right?
Yeah.
So it's just like with people. So we have to figure out a way to make the everyday stuff that is definitely, and that's the other thing too, is like, I understand when dogs are like, I'm like, I know you're actually scared. So for us, we're like, okay, let's go through this. I know that they're actually think that they're in danger. And those are things that you have to like almost expose them in a sense of like, you're not going to be able to spend 5 to 6 months with that dog and they're going to be, oh, I'm fine with this. You really have to, well, first of all, a lot of people don't have that much time anyway, and they don't have much patience. So how do we get a dog that has been neglected, abandoned, or abused to a point of comfort? And for me, you know, in that particular video, I used food, I used steak and chicken and all these. Nope.
She won't touch it.
Nope.
She like turns her nose at it. Like, don't try and lure me in.
Right. So we have to say, so for me, that's where you go back to the drawing board. I mean, that's what it is for me. It's an investigation. We say, okay, what do we do? And so again, like, I use that, and this is something I would suggest for you to start to get to, because you've done it. You've already done the harness and the collar and the martingale and all that stuff. It's just not going to fly. So what I would suggest is getting yourself like the Herms. I'll send you this via email. I'll send you this information so you have it. So when a dog says nope and they shut down, you don't have any leverage unless you either choke them and drag them. Food lure is not ever going to work. Picking them up and carrying them is going to put you further back. You have to stand, you know, stand, quote, air quote, stand tall, if you will, and say, look, I understand that you're afraid of this grass, or you're afraid, because these are things we're going to be doing in a very, very clinical, calm environment. So we're not going to be like downtown working on these things, because we're not ready for that with Betty. But I would get yourself a long line, so like 15 to 20 foot. Get yourself a prong collar for that extra support, so we don't choke the dog out. And again, are you familiar with the prong collar?
I've never used it, no, but I've watched some of your videos, which is why I was like, I have to call this guy, because I think I need this.
Yeah, I appreciate it. And I just, you know, I try to be devil's advocate, you know, I really do. That's like my big goal. And that's why I put out the content that I do, to say, hey, there's other, because I'm that black sheep dog trainer for most people that goes against traditional stuff. And I'm like, some dogs don't fall under that regimen of tradition. Like, you know, the same stuff that some dog trainers do, I teach for 4-H teenagers at the 4-H club, where they're luring dogs around with hot dogs and getting them to do stuff, which is fantastic. There's nothing wrong with that. And that's good for like a perfect world. But the rainbows and butterflies effect doesn't work for a dog like Betty, who's been left outside and abandoned and abused and whatever. Then what? Well, you just have to deal with it, Denise. It's something you have to do. It's like, well, is there other ways? And that's my passion, is to say, yeah, actually, let's try these other ways and get creative and be artists about this and be loving and compassionate and have a lot of empathy moving forward because of the love I have for animals and how much I care about them getting better. And that's been my passion ever since. So those are some things I would be trying. Now, let's paint a perfect world, okay? And say you get your Hermspringer 2.25, which is a small little prong collar, and you go out with your 20-foot leash, and let's say you have a side yard, garage, front yard. Think about where you're going to do this. Could even be in your house, but you have to have enough space where she can walk towards you. Your goal is, because there's a mental battle, right, where she doesn't want to move forward. She's like, I'm not walking towards you because that's scary. And so this isn't a physical, it is, but it isn't. Like, the physical is the micro. The macro is the dog making the decision to actually progress and say, okay, I'm going to try this because I trust you now or whatever. And then they move forward towards you. Well, that gives you an opportunity to say, yes, good job. And then you just move forward. So it's not as easy as putting a prong collar on a dog and just walking. It doesn't work like that. There's a lot of subtleties, which is why it's important for you to really soak this information in, because it's not that easy. That helps. That's supportive. That's enforcing. It's the most humane thing to do in that situation, because you don't want to choke, drag, carry, or pull, right? So we need to say, hey, let's, you know. So when you're doing this, your momentum and your energy, I want to call it energy, but your momentum, your energy, the way that you're presenting yourself in that situation is probably 70% of that. The prong collar and the leash and the tools that you're using is just a little tiny sliver to that enforcement. So when you're doing this, you're gonna put it on. You're gonna say, Betty, like, come, or let's go, or something. You're gonna say, hey, we're gonna go this way. She's going to put her brakes on. She's going to say, absolutely not. I'm going to send you the safety clip and all that stuff of how to, you know, make sure that all the equipment's right. And you're not going to pull her, because it doesn't matter if you have a prong collar harness, you know, whatever type of collar on. If you're pulling, that's not helping what you're trying to do. What you're going to do is you're just going to kind of pop the leash back and forth. You're going to say, come, and you're just going to kind of bop, bop, bop back and forth like this. And what's going to happen is those prongs are going to come up and all together they're going to go bang, bang. So instead of one point of pressure, like with a slip collar or even a martingale collar, where they can just resist until they either try to slip out of it or, you know, you drag them, that's going to give you the opportunity. You're going to pop, pop, pop. And it's basically, the way that I put it is, it's annoying for the dog.
Yeah.
Right? So they're like, oh God, this is annoying. And it's kind of popping like this. And then all of a sudden they go boop, boop, and they start moving forward with you, and you go yes, and then you turn and you start walking, and then they follow you. And so the macro to that is your relationship immediately changes, because the dog is now following you, and you go to one end of the yard where Betty has never wanted to go towards, or never wanted to walk towards, or whatever that is for you in your template. And then you're rewarding. Good job, Betty. Let's go. And you're confident, right? And your shoulders are straight and you're looking forward, and you're being as confident, because now she's going to be ears down, tail tucked, really low to the ground, following you around, looking at you for the first time.
Yeah.
Right? And then you turn and you do it again. You say, okay, let's go back this way. And she's like, and mentally she's like, I can't. And then all of a sudden you give her a little pressure again. She's like, okay. And this story that I'm telling you, I've done numerous times, and I have it on video multiple times, but the video I'm primarily talking about is one I did recently with the same thing. This dog would poop and pee if I looked at her wrong. She would bite and nip people if they came up to her, because she looks so sweet, and she is a sweet dog. She's just insecure. And I'm telling you right now, that prong collar changed her life forever and her owner's life. We have her on film, just absolutely shut down. And I said, I really, and again, like the reality is for you and for me, you have a lot of time. You have a ton of leverage because you have a lot of time. For me, primarily when, even if I do 10 sessions with a dog, which is 10 hours, which is the biggest package you can get with me privately at the facility. It's huge, right? It takes 4 months to get through. That's still not a lot of time in the dog's life. So I have to find the most humane, efficient thing possible. And that has worked time and time again. And it's not suppression either. It's not going through the phases of, well, now the dog is more fearful. And again, these are things that are probably popping up in your head too, because you know, you're a dog owner and you're like, well, I don't want to make it worse. I don't want to hurt her. And these are all great observations. And these are all great questions to have with yourself, as you should. But if you're doing that correctly and you're doing that properly, and I would advise you to watch these videos, and I'll send you a couple of links too. You're not going to have any problems with that. You're going to move forward and you're going to progress there. But what it does is it just gives her the opportunity to finally get over that hurdle. And then each day you get over new hurdles, and then you're moving and grooving. She's still probably going to be insecure about a lot of things, but at least you're progressing. Does that make sense?
It totally makes sense. Is there a certain amount of time, you know, per session or per day that I do this with her? So I've had so many varied opinions about not overwhelming her.
Sure.
Someone's telling me, pick her up and take her out of the room to expose her to something. And someone's saying, no, never pick her up. Mm-hmm. And I'm just like, I don't know.
I'm telling you, there's a lot of information, and there's a lot of people who, for dog training, it's very overwhelming for dog owners. It's overwhelming for me, you know, because, you know, I just love dogs so much, and I would be really doing things that make sense to you. Do things that you're comfortable with. I always tell people, hey, you don't have to do anything that you don't want to do with your dog ever. However, when you hire me, I'm just going to give you some opportunities to turn new leaves and to realize there's new things and different ways to do things. And if you don't want to do it, there are certain trainers out there that are like, this is what you have to do. This is blah, blah, blah. I'm not really like that. I'm just like, hey, I'm all natural, if you will. I'm like, people are like, how did you do that? I want to know how you did that. And I'm like, I don't know. Right. So, bring me your case and let me show you how I would do it. And you're like, wow, this is great. And so for me, it's just very non-traditional. It's very creative. It's very artsy. It's very, let's do this, let's do that. This is how it is. And so moving forward, I want you to take your time, and I want you to be comfortable, and I want you to do things that make sense to you and your dog, because it can be overwhelming. You're going to read 100 articles, literally probably 100 or more articles on this exact thing. And every single one of them are going to be certified, well-respected, you know, whatever. And they're all going to contradict each other. And head's going to spin. Yeah. You're not going to know which way to go. And your dog is at risk of that because they're an animal. So you have to be very responsible how you proceed. So I want you to do whatever you're comfortable with as the dog owner. And that's why it's hard, you know, in anything that I do, even if you're standing right in front of me, I'm showing you, you say, hey, Denise, this is what you want. Here's how we do it. Every single day that happens where the dog owner takes the leash and they still have a hard time doing exactly what I just did in front of them, and they can't get the same result because of the experience I have, right? So even the consulting that I'm doing, or maybe the videos that you watch or anybody else that does that, there's still a ton of subtlety that goes in, that goes into the process of teaching a dog how to do this stuff. So I want you to just do what makes sense to you. And I think that that's the most important thing, because that's what you're going to subscribe to the most is, okay, yeah, that makes sense. And that's what I should be doing. And oh my gosh, we've made progress here. So anyway, does that make sense?
I really almost shut down myself, because after the first week watching her play and, you know, come out of her shell a little bit. And then to see her the second week completely shut down. I mean, she wouldn't come out of her crate for a couple of days and she wouldn't leave the bedroom. Mm-hmm. I started to get really anxious. And so I've calmed a bit. And I think that she's not going to be like, I'm going to try and do my best to help her. In the last couple of days, I feel like she feels that too. So she's not walking toward me. Well, she comes to find me when she's scared. So I think, you know, in the last few days, I've felt more confident in just letting her be where she is. I have in the so she's also slept in bed with me the last few nights. I've just picked her up and put her on the bed to see if she would stay. Mm-hmm. And she did. And
yep. So, you know. Yeah, and that's what you should be doing. You should be doing all of those things where you're getting creative and you're saying, hey, does this work? Does this work? Does this work? Does this work? How about this? And none of it's bad if you're just trying new things to get your dog happier, as long as it's, you know, progressing. So I would say that I would try to find little battles and try to help her get over these little battles of insecurity with certain tools that really help. I mean, don't be afraid of, and again, like that's the thing about dog training is you're going to look up maybe prong collar training. You're going to get the left and the right, you know, you're going to get the two different, and it's like, absolutely not. And then it's absolutely. And you're like, then your head spins and you're like, what the heck do I do? So I'm just telling you, like, for me, cause that's what you know, you've hired me to do to say, hey, what have you done in the past? And I can tell you that that's just, and I have so many documented actual footage of studies of this, of it becoming really nice. And again, it's not going to be any type of decompression. It's not going to be any type of quick fixes. It is something that does work fast, but I'm not naive to say, oh, we're done, we're fixed, let's go out to go downtown. So
hi.
It's something that,
hello.
Is she out hanging out?
Yeah, so she just I was in the office where I had her. Aww. With me, and now she's just come to find me and lay down. So this, aww, blanket is like her safe place. So wherever the blanket is, she'll kind of just lay with it. And then I have her bowls on the blanket, and then I have pee pads set up inside for her. It's like she wouldn't leave a room, let alone try to find me when I left somewhere. So I started to feel a little bit like, you know, I was doing her a disservice, but I'm starting to realize it's just a complicated process.
It is.
And it's trial and error.
Correct. And I would,
so,
go ahead. Sorry.
Sorry. No, I was just saying this collar, it gives me some kind of hope to, you know, add another tool to the mix to see,
right,
you know, if this will work.
Again, right. I want you to really pay attention to everything else. You know, again, like the prong collar and the equipment is just a small piece. Like if you had a screw gun versus, you know, a hammer and nails, you're like, wow, this is so much more efficient. But you still need to know how to build a house. You can't just because you have the tool doesn't mean the house is going to go up on its own. It's not going to fix.
Yeah.
You still have to be, you know, the craftsman that you are to make sure it works properly. So there's all of that. So just making sure, you know, your energy and your body is very momentum. And I'd love to, after you've worked on this, I'd love to hear your follow-up to say, hey, you know, this is what's working and this is not. And I'd be happy to help you past that, because again, like what you can do and what other people can do is all in the dog. There's so many variables, the situation, the environment, all of that plays a role. But I would start to say, in this situation, what's a micro macro win for us and for you and for Betty? Is the small wins is you have her on a long line and she won't walk past a certain threshold, and you give her a little pop instead of dragging her around. And you say, come on, Betty, let's go. And you give her a little pressure and she actually walks towards you. Yay. And you throw this Academy Award and you love her and you give her all this attention. And then you ignore her and you let her chill for 30 seconds to 2 minutes. And then you go to the other side of the room, you do it again. She's like, no, I can't. And you're like, come on. You give her a little pressure and you enforce that. She pops over and you go, yay. And she's still not going to be thrilled about it, but she's actually getting over these mental battles of I can't versus maybe I can. And so the macro is we've taken a situation where she was terrified with or of, and we've gotten her over it. So the micro is she did it in that one room. Well, now the macro is you can apply that to everything else. And you do that every single day. And again, as long as you're patient and you're understanding the different things. And again, like just because you moved as well, it might take her a couple more days or even a week or more to readjust and adapt because she's very primal. She's lived on the streets and she was left outside. She's like a freaking wild dog.
Yeah.
So a different, she has to get acquainted with her surroundings in order to feel safe too. So there's, you know, that's a big part of it as well is that adaptiveness that animals need to, you know, just like with fish, snakes, reptiles, anything that you move them into a new location and they plants. I mean, even plants, like you move them and they're stressed and they change colors and they will. And I mean, it's a big part of everything in life. And same thing with people, you know, so you just have to give it, you know, that's something to really reflect on is it's going to take a little bit of time, for her to be comfortable in that environment just because of who she is. And I think the more exercises you do to progress her, the better. Because right now you're kind of at a standstill.
Yeah.
And I think if you use that tool and you say, hey, let's do this, and you start progressing her every day, you say, okay, she got over this threshold. Let's try this later today. And let's try this. And she just finally just scoots towards you. And you're like, okay, that wasn't like super confident, but hey, we did it. And you're giving her that. And then that way you can apply that to everything. And I think you will find the light in that and you'll go, because right now you're like fail, fail, fail. You know, it's very frustrating because you just can't get her over these certain things. And I think if you pick fair, realistic, achievable goals, like walk in a direction per se, like I've done, you know, with the, I'm not asking. And that's one thing I really, really highlight in the training. I'm like, hey, I'm not asking her to jump through hoops or go and shake hands and jump on somebody's lap. I'm just asking her to walk with me. There's no reason that she shouldn't at a certain point. I understand why she's resistant or hesitant because of her past or his past, depending on the dog I'm working with. And you just have to help them through that process with patience, love, affection, assertiveness, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think you'll be in way, way better. And then you just multiply it. You keep getting better.
Yeah, that makes total sense. I'm looking forward to getting this collar and trying it out and seeing how she does, and then I'll totally set something up
us
after that.
So again, guys, remember all of the links that I'm talking about, specifically the pit bull video that I did recently, is in the description below. You guys can check that out, how the prong collar can help an insecure dog on the contrary of what some people think. Beautiful work. Really proud of that work that we've done with Herm Springer and the prong collar, as well as giving the opportunity to say, hey, this is what's worked in the past really well for me. We've done it a bunch of times. So anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed this podcast. I appreciate you guys listening, watching, all of that stuff. If you haven't yet, do me a favor. Leave a review on the podcast and let me know what you thought of this podcast, as well as just the whole podcast channel. I appreciate you guys. I will talk to you next time. Peace.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Prescription products require completion of an online medication consultation with an independent healthcare provider through the LifeMD platform and are only available if prescribed. Subscription required. Individual results may vary. Additional restrictions apply. Read all warnings before using GLP-1s. Side effects may include a risk of thyroid C-cell tumors. Do not use GLP-1s if you or your family have a history of thyroid cancer.
If you've struggled for years to lose weight and have given up hope, did you know you can now access GLP-1 prescription medications at TryLifeMD.com? We're now offering eligible patients online access to GLP-1s, the breakthrough prescription medication that can help you lose body fat and weight. Listen to what people are saying.
It's fun to put on jeans that you couldn't get into 6 months ago.
Every morning, I look forward to getting on the scale.
For anybody who's struggling with their weight, it's a godsend.
And here's the best part. Your insurance may cover 100% of the cost of your medication. So go to TryLifeMD.com to have your eligibility checked right now. Get started today at TryLifeMD.com. That's TryLifeMD.com.